Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, lo and behold, look who's here. We finally got him, the man, the myth, and soon to become a legend.
Yeah.
State Senator Everett Stubbs. The state senator is what gets me. Are you used to that yet?
Not even close. No, sir. So this is all taking some getting used to. I mean, we're still working on some of that. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. You're a busy guy. So tell us a little bit about Everett Stubbs.
So born and raised in South Carolina in Greenville, moved up to this region in 2009, married a gal, Caroline, what was Caroline Rockholt, from the Catawba Leslie area, and we've made this region of South Carolina our home. We're got two kids that are in Rock Hill Public Schools, Rhett, who's 10, and Margaret, who's 6, and so we're rocking and rolling in life, you know, just... obviously, I felt like I didn't have enough to do, so I threw my hat in the ring to be a state senator, too. So
you are an attorney by trade, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm an attorney. And we have two offices in Chester County, one in downtown Chester, one in Richburg, and then we also have a Winnsboro office. So
how is it that somebody who has offices everywhere except your county is a state representative, I'm sorry, state senator,
yes,
that includes part of your county?
Just
a smidgen, not much.
So if you look at the district itself, it's all of Fairfield County, all of Chester County, southeast York County, including right here where we're sitting at Substation 2, and then also part of Lancaster County in the Van Wyck region. So it's geographically a very large district.
How could you possibly keep your pulse on all of that? I mean, that's an impossible task.
You know, really what it takes is having good support and having people that help keep you informed and care about the district and make sure that you know what you need to know to be successful.
So you have a network of people that are within that district that are saying, hey, Everett, over here in Lancaster, let me tell you what's going on.
Yes, sir. And I'm a person that's about inclusivity too, right? So I reach out to people constantly. I don't sit back and wait on... You know, the people to come to me, I try to get with them and say, well, what do I need to know? What's happening? What projects are working? How can I help? And so I try to be proactive rather than reactive. And I think, quite frankly, it's harder to catch up than it is to get ahead. So I think that really helps.
So speaking of catching up and trying to get ahead, you've now taken, I mean, you're in business for yourself.
Yes, sir.
You're an attorney. And you're in a group of what,
There are five of us attorneys.
Three different offices?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you got that to deal with. Now, because you're in a business just like Charlie Ruffalo is, or we are at OTS, you, quote, eat what you kill, which
That's
means
right.
you got to go out and generate the business. And now you're going to be taking God knows how many hours a week away from that business to serve District 17. Have you figured out how you're going to do this yet?
Well, so, you know, I go back to one of my favorite sayings. If you want something done, ask someone that's busy, right? And so... The way I approach it is that time management is key. I can't downplay this enough. My wife is awesome. I mean, you know, the children and the business and all the other things that keep you busy in life, she really takes a lot of that load off of me at home, and so appreciate her greatly for that. And then my business partners, you know, that they see the work that I'm doing for the community, find value in that. So I do have to hold my own. I have to carry my own water. But at the same time, if they can help me out, they're more than willing. And so, very fortunate.
You never got the impression they're trying to usher you out the door.
No, sir. No, sir. In fact, they were partially part of the crew that encouraged me to do this. I mean, you know, it was one thing, can you win? But two, can you do something if you do win? And so A lot of people have confidence in my ability to be able to go down there and be a respected voice for our community. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully delivering on that.
So how did this all come about? How did you go from being, you know, an attorney and living the life that most people live to getting into politics? How did that start?
Just an old country lawyer, right? That's what I was living a good life, kind of quiet, kept myself, you know, raising kids and hunting and fishing a lot. That's mainly what I've had to give up, by the way, hunting and fishing. But just a group of people. I mean, you know, especially Chester and Fairfield counties. York County is very fortunate. Got two very good senators already. Actually, there's multiple. Even Harvey Peeler has part of York County, and so a lot of seniority there. But York and Chester were kind of on an island, is what I tell people. And so some influential people, Sheriff Max Dorsey down in Chester, a bunch of folks came to me and said, look, we really need you to do this. Run for this seat and give us a good, reasonable voice. And so I evaluated it, did a lot of thinking and praying with my wife, and we decided that, you know, we'll take a leap of faith here. We thought God was calling us in this direction. And I told people during the campaign, I know that God wanted me to run. We'll find out in November if he wants me to win. And apparently he did, but not by much. So
28 votes, was that what it was?
29. I had 28 to spare. That's what, you know, so. But it is, you know, look, my predecessor's a good fella, and he was all over the place, very likable guy. So we knew it was an uphill battle, and, you know, kudos to him for the job that he did when he held this seat. So.
And I tell you what, give him kudos as well, because it could have been a recount. He didn't want it.
That's
right. He said the people have spoken, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. Mike Fanning was a good guy.
Yes,
good
sir.
Guy. Okay, so now your eyes have been opened. You won this thing. You had a little while to think about it because you didn't know the results until early November. Your session didn't begin until January. What transpired between Election Day and opening day of the General Assembly?
All right, so first of all, it's like drinking from a water hose, you know, I mean, or a fire hose, I should say. But it really is. I mean, the first thing I did is I started setting up meetings with economic development leaders across the region, okay? And main reason being is I see utilities as the key to our future in this district, whether you're talking water, sewer, natural gas, energy. And a lot of times people don't realize it should be state-level funding that's helping make a lot of those things happen. And that's where I saw our biggest deficit in this district, whether you're talking the south side of Rock Hill or down in Winsboro, right? The utilities is where I thought we could use the most improvement. So that's where I started going straight to economic development folks, saying, what do you have to be successful in economic development? Every one of them said utilities. And So that's where my focus has been.
Okay. So we have, I think it's Chester now. Chester's had a lot of activity.
Yes, sir.
They've got some good parks down there. They got GT Tire. They've got, I can't remember all the other ones. But
Gallo. We've had a string of success.
Yes, have you toured Gallo yet?
I have not. Hadn't had the opportunity.
First of all, you want to make sure they have a golf cart.
Yes, sir.
Because that building is so long.
That's right.
It is like walking around the state of South Carolina. I mean, it's huge. I did a show down there a year and a half ago. Quite something to see. But the utilities are a bigger issue even when you get down into Fairfield County. Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir. Yes, sir. So essentially, and it's a newly formed cooperative, I guess you could say. It's like a joint sewer and water commission that the county and then the town of Winsboro have formed. And realistically, regionalization is something that from the federal government down is kind of being pushed at this point. And so there's a lot going on in Fairfield. I'm not sure that the current vision is sustainable from a monetary perspective. There is also possibilities of mainly partnering with the city of Columbia as well. I'm too early in that game to really tell you where I'm at on what we should do there to make public dollars go the furthest for the citizens.
Don't they have a super site down there or close to a super site?
They do. They do. And so I believe her name is Miss Rainwater. I met with her. She was one of the first meetings over economic development for the county of Fairfield. And so everybody knows about Scout, right? I mean, Scout is a huge, just across the border in the Richland County site that they're going to be making their really good looking, you know, electric vehicle. I'm not really a fan of how a lot of electric vehicles look. These look nothing like an electric vehicle. They look rough, tough, the Scout that you think of from, you know, the old International Scouts. But there's multiple sites along the interstate that make a lot of sense. The problem is water and sewer. And so they just aren't there. And so that's where I'm working on a plan with, whether it's Mark Hendrick with State Economic Development or also the folks in Fairfield County government, how do we get these things there so that those folks can get some good, high-quality jobs?
So is it too early to even formulate the beginnings of an answer to that?
Partially. And so the other thing you don't want to do as a new politician is come in and try to blow up someone else's plans that they've been working on for 10 years, right? I mean, so and I just feel like you do better building relationships than building, you know, barriers. And so I just want to make sure that we've evaluated all the options and that at the end of the day, if tax dollars are going to be used, let's make sure that we're being efficient and making the ultimate long-term best decision.
So I gather you probably have met with representatives of the I-77 Alliance?
Yes, sir.
Because you are part of that group of counties.
That's right.
That are all bonded together, who are out there cheering for each other.
That's right.
To get the business. But if you don't have the parks to put them in, then you're going to be left out.
And so, you know, land's not the issue.
That's correct.
It's all about getting the utilities to the land that we have that's available and ready to go. And, you know, there are some marketing schemes that some of these alliances and economic development folks can use. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the utilities there, and look, and here's another thing, right? I mean, so there has to be some skin in the game when it comes to whatever company wants to move to town, right? We don't just want taxpayers to pay for all this utility upgrades. I mean, they're going to seek the best benefit, that being the company. So they have to have some skin in the game, too. And a lot of that negotiation happens long before a company determines this is the spot. And so that's kind of in the what they call incentives package. All that has to be developed on the front end, not on the back end.
But isn't it true that for you to even get consideration with all the competitive sites that are out there, you got to have some basic fundamentals. You got to have water and sewer at the site.
That's correct.
So you're in a catch-22 down there. You're going to have to get somebody, either Fairfield County residents or the state or a combination of the two of them, to say this is important, we got to do it.
That's right. And it goes back to the if you build it, they will come type model. You know? And so, you know, people want, when they decide they're going to do something, they want to do it today, not tomorrow. And it takes time to put in things like utility lines. So, again, that's just where there needs to be collaboration and cooperation and proper planning so that everybody's working and pulling in the same direction.
So you see your job is to keep pushing?
It is, most certainly. So my objective, and I tell people this, right? I'm a husband and a father. One of the most self-fulfilling things I do is provide for my family. And if I can help give that opportunity to other men and women out there, then that's my priority. So.
And you know, Fairfield County is the home of the former Secretary of Commerce, Bobby Hitt.
That's right. That's right. And so look, you know, it would amaze you how many folks, because a lot of people that work at the State House, whether staff members or whatnot, you'd be surprised how many live in Fairfield County, too. So it's a little easier to go in there, you know, and get some cheering behind you when you're making these pitches. So it helps.
All right. So you get yourself elected.
Yes.
Then you got to get somebody's going to assign you to a committee. Right. Did you try to jockey yourself into a committee that
So the Senate
freshman,
is...
Freshman, I know, you're freshman.
Yeah, yeah. So, in fact, I got one little piece of this most recent bill passed, manipulated, and they said, all right, you're done for the year. Just, you know, and so, no. But so, in the Senate, it's all seniority-based, right? And you have to serve on five different committees. And so, I'm on Judiciary, Veteran Affairs, Veteran and Family Services, the Ag, I'm on fish, game, and wildlife, and also banking and insurance. So I've got plenty of work ahead, that's for sure.
But you didn't get to the, you didn't get on the Economic Development Committee or whatever that is.
No, sir. So the Senate Finance Committee is probably the most coveted of the committees down there. And so that's typically reserved for the more senior senators. So, you know, and so, and again, Harvey Peeler is the chair, and he is part of the York delegation. And so, so we call him Mr. Chairman, and that's for a reason.
Well,
so.
They didn't name the new agricultural center at Clemson after Harvey Peeler for nothing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, in fact, they say, and I wasn't in the room, obviously, but the new veterinarian science department, it was his
about,
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and great, right? I mean, we deserve, South Carolina's got 6.5 million people, I believe, now. A veterinarian services education center made sense.
We had nothing. So. But you're right. And if I'm, I think I remember this, Harvey used to be the Senate president. And he saw the chance to become the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. He stepped down from being the Senate Finance, I mean the Senate President Pro Tem, to take that chairmanship because it was that important.
I think that tells you something.
and
we're fortunate in the state to have him too, right? I've kind of gone to his office and just had some meetings, and you know, really respect him. Think a world of him.
So, Harvey, my name is Everett Stubbs. We need money down here in Winnsboro and Fairfield County and Chester County for water and sewer. And he said what?
I started. I didn't go straight into it. You know, I kind of, you know, we familiarize ourselves with each other first. But no, he comes from Gaffney. You know, Cherokee County's rural area of the state too, or was at one point. And so he understands that the funding gaps are real between what more rural counties and municipalities can do and what the state can help provide with assistance.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the, and here's the what do you give and what do you take. The governor in a state of the state message wants to lower the tax rate again, which is fine.
Right.
But that's money that could be used for water and sewer projects for parts of the state that don't have the water and sewer.
And so, all right, let me give you my perspective on that. What he's trying to lower is the state income tax level,
right?
Okay, and so we want to incentivize people working, right? We want people to be productive citizens of South Carolina, and so the less you take on that, the more actually they'll be able to use in the purchasing side of the economy. Okay, so what we're doing is more of a consumption type revenue than it is penalizing the worker for all the hard work they're doing. It just makes more sense, right? And then we also have a pretty complicated, you know, scheme and all these tax breaks that we give. You know, basically, if you have 2 feet, you get 10% off. You know, I mean, it's, you know, why don't we just get away with all the tax breaks, just set the tax, lower it, and let it be what it is? And I think that makes more sense.
I want you to talk to Tommy Pope.
Yes, sir.
Who had the assignment 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. To take a look at all these hundreds and hundreds of different tax shelters or whatever it was. And they had this great big old report. You know, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. Ask him where that report is.
I got you.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's the worst kept secret in Columbia that the way that we give and the way it was explained to me, and again, this is coming from freshmen. I just found out where the bathrooms and coffee were last week, you know. But no, they tell me that it's like, look, we love our firemen. Let's give them a tax break. Everybody agrees with we love our firemen. But at some point, you do that over and over and over. It just becomes too complicated. And so let's just streamline.
Give everybody a tax break.
Yes, sir, because everybody cares. And if they're working hard, earning a living, they deserve that tax break.
Right. So. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by, what am I saying, Anderson Greaves Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGreaves.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, inside, and it's a beautiful day outside, but you need a break. You need a fresh sub or a salad, and you get them right here at Substation 2. Why do all these people come in here like they are today? Because of this wonderful little way we do things. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to andersongriggs.com.
If you have tried traditional weight loss methods of diet, exercise, and medications and failed to see lasting results, you may be a candidate for bariatric surgery at Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Our three board-certified surgeons have performed more than 1,000 minimally invasive robotic surgical weight loss procedures, which can be very effective in long-term management of weight. Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, offering comprehensive weight management and weight loss services supporting patients on their journey to wellness. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
It's soup weather and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The newly enshrined state senator from District Number 17, Everett Stubbs, is with us today. Appreciate him coming up here. He's got a... He's got enough to do. Do you not
yes,
have
sir.
Enough to do? You're not going to
yes,
take
sir.
On anything else, are you?
No, sir. No, this is it for a while. So.
What's been your biggest surprise since you have gone down there?
How much help we get, to
really?
Be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's funny, the guys in the House kind of pick at us as senators. You know, we each share, each senator shares a administrative assistant. And I guess I'm biased. I think I've got the best one. You know, but we also, and that really helps, right, with constituent services, people calling, they need this done, they need that done, we can't get a hold of this person. And so that was really refreshing, because I'm used to doing it on my own, you know, just making it happen. And so that was nice. And then also it's been very helpful when you have issues that you want to address or that you have legislation that you want to propose. You know, there's a long list of folks there ready and willing to help you, whether it's committee folks, there's multiple. I bet you there's 30 lawyers that work for the Senate. I mean, it's so if you need something or want to get something done, the resources are there. The easy part's putting it together. The hard part's getting it passed. So,
yeah.
So that's been refreshing.
So if there was a piece of legislation that you decided you wanted to put in the hopper, you would go to them and say, look, this is what I want to do. You put it together.
Exactly.
And then I'll work on getting it passed.
Right. And so they put it together for you, and then you work with them and, you know, make the changes that you want to make. You know, fortunately, I am a lawyer, right? I mean, I know how to read law. I know what it typically looks like, even in just the format.
Whereas.
All that good stuff. And then, you know, if A, then B, then B, then C, then if not, then D, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it's a little helpful for me to have that kind of background, but at the same time, we want to make it legible for the citizens. You know, we want to make it make sense.
Of course, you've heard this criticism before, that we've got too many lawyers
yes, sir.
In the General Assembly.
I've heard it more times than I can explain, especially being a conservative, because that's one of the I'm a right-wing Republican, and so one of the arguments sometimes on the conservative side are about us lawyer legislators. And my argument to that was like, you know, look, you need me there to offset any potential lawyer on the other side that might have some sly argument or something. I can see that stuff coming. So
sly argument. I love that. All right, so is there anything that you particularly want to put into the hopper this year as far as legislation? We know you want to work on water and sewer. You got to put a bill together that requires the state of South Carolina to do this?
No, sir. So that basically would not. It would just flow through the natural budget and the grant systems. But there is one piece of legislation that is very important to me, and it's we kind of talked about it earlier, and it's, you know, for lack of a better term, we call it the homicide by drug deal. And so, you know, we were talking before we started, Chester County Sheriff's Office over the weekend busted a house in the Edgemore community, I believe, with 3.5 pounds of fentanyl. Huh. And they said that's enough to kill 800,000 people. And so, you know, what you're finding is a lot of these kids and even young adults out there are ODing on fentanyl, not even knowing that they're getting fentanyl, and whether it's pot or a pill or whatever else. And so it's, we have got to wrap our heads around this fentanyl crisis, or we're going to be in some severe trouble going forward.
Well, hopefully this guy who's in Washington by the name of Trump will have some impact with these tariffs that he's put on these, you know, Canada-Mexico. Who am I missing? Canada-Mexico and...
China.
China. Thank you very much. China.
I mean, he's... I think he says China.
China. Yeah. China. But he's, you know, he said the main reason for this is because of the fentanyl and the human trafficking.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't think we have human trafficking up here, you're crazy. I've done shows here that just make your hair stand up. It's just awful
to think
that that's going on. But it is. This new fentanyl drug bill that's in place is a very significant piece of legislation, because it basically tells these bad guys out there, you do this, you're going to end up down there for, I think it's at least 5 years, 10 years first time around, 25 years the second time,
so,
something like that.
So mandatory minimums were put in place, you know, that's that, and a judge can't come off of those. But this also, this bill that I'm talking about, the Senate president is the primary sponsor, and that's President Alexander out of Oconee County. And so it passed the Senate last time, got held up in the House for some reason. But I think my priority is, and actually when we go tomorrow for the majority caucus meeting, I'm going to, again, freshmen sit in the corner, be quiet. Now I'm going to stand up and say, hey, where are we at on this bill? Why is it not being pushed? Because it got through last time. We need it through this time early so that there's not any shenanigans on the backside. So
because this is a new legislative session, it has to go through both houses again?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Right. So this bill, if it passes, would mandate that if somebody dies as a result of drugs, what would happen to them?
You can be tried basically for homicide. It's a little bit of a watered-down version of homicide. But say, let's give the example, if I'm a drug dealer, right, and Manning's coming to buy some drugs, you know. So, but
don't hold your breath on that
if, you know, because a lot of time, but if I sell you something and it's not what it's intended to be sold,
right,
and you in turn OD and die, I can be responsible for that death before. There's no avenue to hold that person responsible.
Yeah.
And so this is one of those that keeps, hopefully will keep people from lacing things with fentanyl. It keeps people from, you know, doing malicious things that result in people dying.
Well, Everett, you've done a good job on your first Straight Talk program since you've been elected.
Yes, sir.
I hope you come back again.
Maybe. We'll sit down and I'll be back. Thank you. Thank you.
So. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program for today. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time here at Substation 2. Buster is here. So is, oh my God, the wild man is here. The good doctor is here. So how are we going to do this? All right, here we go now. We do fresh subs and salads. We do them here 6 days a week at Substation 2. How we do them is in the white letters, and we're all going to sing it out together. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's the way it should be. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.